Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Goldium International Q4 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rahul Dani. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Monarch Networth Capital, we're delighted to host the senior management of Goldium International. We have with us Mr. Rashesh Bhansali, Executive Chairman, and we have Mr. Anmol Bhansali, Managing Director of the company. We will start the call with opening remarks from the management and then move to Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you so much, Rahul. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Goldium's earnings call for the quarter and year ended on 31st March 2026. I would like to thank Monarch team for hosting this call. I am pleased to inform that Goldium has reported strong overall performance for the quarter as well as for the year ended 31st March 2026. Goldium has reported highest-ever revenue, EBITDA, and PAT for the financial year 2026. For the first time in Goldium's history, our revenue has crossed the prestigious 1,000 crore mark. Despite the business disruptions related to tariffs, West Asia war, volatility in gold prices, Goldium ended FY 2026 with a tremendously impressive 27.5% consolidated revenue increase at 1,212.3 million and a robust 45.7% increase in consolidated PAT at rupees 1,705.9 million. Consolidated revenue for Q4 FY 2026 at rupees 2,433 million was up by 21%, and consolidated PAT for Q4 FY 2026 at rupees 372 million surged by 61%. EBITDA for Q4 2026 at rupees 583 million grew by 35.9% with EBITDA margin of 23.9%. EBITDA for FY 2026 at rupees 2,486.7 million grew by 36.2% with EBITDA margin of 24.3%. Cash and cash equivalent, including investments, were at 4,933.92 million as on March 31st, 2026. The board of directors have recommended a bonus share in the ratio  1:3, fully paid up equity shares of rupees 2 each in proportion of one new fully paid up equity share of rupees 2 for every three existing fully paid up equity shares of rupees 2 each, subject to the approval of shareholders. Here, I would like you to note that Goldium is tariff agnostic, and the recent increase in custom duty in India on gold to 15% will not have any material impact on Goldium's operations, financial performance, or profitability. The company operates from Special Economic Zone, which is SEZ seats, and continues to avail the applicable custom duty exemption benefits available to seats units under the prevailing government policies and regulations. Lab-grown diamond jewelry exports contributed to 88.3% to the overall export sales mix during Q4 2026. Online revenue accounted for 27.4% of the revenue during Q4 FY 2026. About 64.5% of the inventory finished jewelry as on March 31st, 2026, is with customers as finished stock of jewelry to be sold in subsequent months to their customers. Goldium's order book position as on March 31st, 2026, was at about 2,000 million rupees. Now let me share updates on Origen, our India-focused B2B lab-grown diamond jewelry retail brand. From January 2026 till now, Origen, Goldium's India retail lab-grown diamond jewelry brand, has doubled its store count, now having 24 operational stores across 12 cities. During Q4 FY 2026, Origen recorded a total revenue of 55.6 million. There are 8 to 10 more Origen stores coming up, and they'll be all operational by September 2026. With that overview, I'm happy to pass this line to our Managing Director, Mr. Anmol Bhansali, for further updates. Anmol, take it over.
Thank you. Good afternoon, good evening to our esteemed shareholders and to the shareholder community in general. Once again, as our chairman has mentioned, in a tumultuous and challenging year, we are very glad to present our all-time high best revenue, EBITDA and PAT results. At Goldiam, on the B2B side, the hybrid casting method where we are casting in the United States has truly been instrumental to help delivering business continuity for ourselves, our customers, and in general in the jewelry industry, as well as to help deliver margin growth within the company. We've crossed a 1,000 crore milestone in revenue, which is an important milestone in our journey. And while we look forward to more, we want to take this time to also celebrate and thank the key stakeholders at Goldiam, including all of our teammates, to help deliver this result. We look forward to, in the coming year as well, an introduction of high ASP fashion jewelry, specifically in the tennis bracelets and tennis necklaces segment at Goldiam, which will provide added growth and incremental value addition to our company, which has erstwhile been predominant in the bridal jewelry segment. At Origem, as mentioned by our chairman, we have 24 operational stores, 12 of which have opened less than 60 days ago or less. While we have another 8 plus signed up, our focus is also now on adding on sales enablers within the Origem stores. These include, as you may have seen, India's first 360 3D digital ring builder, where a customer can, both online and in an Origem store, truly build their own ring with variations of up to 9 center stone shapes, 6 sizes, multiple different shank options and setting options as well, including customizing even with an engraving, all of which is rendered in a photorealistic manner live with live pricing. It's an important step in our endeavor to build a higher quality jewelry shopping experience in our country. Further, we hope to expand into additional categories with this 360 ring builder experience, as well as in the future, very soon, we hope to launch additional sales enablers like old gold exchange facilities, purchase plan and advanced purchase plan facilities, and so on, and further alternate caratage of gold inventory. This includes 9KT, as well as potentially even reviewing an addition or a small line of jewelry studded in silver. We hope all of these enable Origem to be the jeweler of choice in the lab-grown diamond space and allows multiple use cases, both in daily wear as well as in higher value, in the higher value segment, to allow Origem to be the mindshare winner in the lab-grown diamond jewelry space in India. Thank you. I now request participants to join in the question and answer session, and we look forward to providing clarity and answering your questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Dikshit Doshi from Whitestone PMS. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is related to our B2B business. So if you can throw some light in terms of, demand scenario in the U.S. market, and we are also expanding to the other geographies as well. So if you can, throw some light on the demand scenario, and also over last couple of years, our top three to five retailer brands, how our wallet share has increased in each of those brands.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Doshi. So yes, the demand scenario continues to look positive, specifically in the lab-grown diamond studded jewelry space. In general, we see our retailers, in order to minimize the advent of higher raw material costs, specifically in gold, moving down in KT. So somebody who was specializing in 18 is increasing their lines of jewelry in 14. Somebody who's specializing in 14 is now increasing the lines of jewelry in 10 KT and so on and so forth. This allows the retailer to maintain price points for the end customer and still manage to capture demand in the key price points, such as, for example, $1,000 retail, $2,000 retail, $3,000 retail, and so on and so forth. With these changes in mind, we see the demand scenario remaining robust. And for us in particular at Goldyam, we have always been a bridal jewelry specialist. In the US and global retail jewelry segment, bridal specifically refers to rings, which are engagement rings and wedding bands. And this has been the core of what we do at Goldyam. So as we further strengthen our assortment here and keep pushing in more SKUs within this segment, we have also been able to launch high-value fashion jewelry and start adding SKUs within this category as well, effectively increasing the addressable market and the dollars per store and per retailer that we can capture at Goldyam. Two line categories in particular are tennis bracelets and tennis necklaces, which allow us to maintain and perhaps even increase our average selling price at Goldyam, as these are high skill set categories with sizable value addition per piece of jewelry. So on our side as well, with the introduction of new categories, demand scenario remains robust, and we hope to test and enhance the addressable market at Goldyam even within our existing retailer segments. The top three retailers, the concentration has all increased, of course, in terms of our market share with them, as the world and as the US moved over the last 5 years increasingly into the lab-grown diamond space, we've been able to capture a sizable share of this, which is visible in the revenue growth delivered on a 3-year or 5-year CAGR period. I hope that answers your question. Thank you.
Yeah. And this bracelet and necklaces which we are entering, how big would be that market compared to the rings?
So in general for the U.S. jewelry industry, bridal jewelry is about 50% of the market and fashion jewelry is about 50% of the market. Within fashion, our endeavor is to capture the higher value, harder to execute, technically challenging categories of these bracelets and necklaces, as opposed to low value silver-based products, which is not suitable for our ASP in general. So I don't have the exact number for these two categories, but overall, the entire fashion jewelry space is as big as the bridal jewelry space in the US.
Okay. And in terms of margins, so, in last call, you were mentioned that after this, hybrid casting model, whatever price hikes we have taken with our B2B customers, we were thinking that our margins will expand going forward. Now, just one clarification. So basically what you give in a presentation or a press release, the EBITDA margin, you include the other income as well. And if I exclude the other income, we are broadly in 21% range. So do you feel margins can expand from here, or whatever we have seen in Q4 will be the steady state margins?
Yes, sir. We certainly believe margins are stabilized and increasing for our industry. We do include other income as a portion of that is true business income, as we are half dollar exposure and generating gain from that as well, which is part of our regular course of business. In general, though, even outside of the forex rates, we see margins increasing on a steady state basis, specifically due to the hybrid casting model, where we are able to leverage production in the US and working with fantastic factories in America. to support our jewelry value addition and production in India, which is then shipped back to retailers across the US. So we do see margins increasing with and without the other income coming in. And we look forward to a robust FY27 as we'll have a full year of operations with hybrid casting in the near future.
Okay, now couple of questions for the origin side. So firstly, if you can, mention, let's say on the last 2-3 months, on a monthly basis, so obviously in, let's say, April, so some store would be profitable at a store level, some would be loss-making. And in May, let's say some of the profitable might be doing loss and some loss-making would be doing profitable. So on average, how many of the 24 stores would be, closer to 18, 20 lakh kind of revenue, which is, store level break even on a monthly basis?
Sure, that's a great question, Mr. Doshi. I will start by saying 12 out of our 24 stores, so exactly half our capacity is very new, has been opened only in the last 60 days or less. As a result of which there is a lot of operational enhancements that we look forward to and stabilization in the micro markets in which we've opened. We have currently finished the Q4 with about 5.56 crores of revenue at Origin, and are happy to announce also that our April sales numbers crossed 3.5 crores at the Origin level for the month. We look forward to this stabilizing and increasing shortly. I don't have the ready number for how many stores were operationally break-even on a store level and how many weren't, but it's safe to say that given that 12 stores were just opened within 60 days, that would be the store count which has yet to hit operational break-even. The idea and target for us, as I mentioned in opening remarks, is to now work on adding sales enablers to push and take up Origem's per-store revenue higher, such that a larger group is consistently, and that's very important to us, consistently hitting store-level break-evens, especially once the stores are 4 to 6 months old. In general also, given the space is both new, small and yet growing and extremely competitive, we believe that these sales enablers, whether that's better tech and tech-enabled jewelry shopping experience like a 360 ring builder, or whether that's offering a lucrative old gold exchange program, payment programs, etc., will allow us to be over time the go-to brand for jewelry shoppers within the lab-grown diamond space.
Okay, and last question on the origin. So you mentioned we will be planning 8 to 10 more stores by September. So let's say in H2, do we have a focus, are we focusing for any more number of stores, or the focus will be towards, first increasing the per store sales of these 30-35 stores, and we have not yet finalized the strategy for H2?
Yes, so great question. We hope to have around 45 to 50 stores by exit FY27. So we may have a quarter where we decide to focus on enhancing revenues from existing stores. But by exit FY27, the ideal goal is to be in the range of 45 to 50 COCO stores.
Okay, fine. That's it from my side. I'll join the
panel. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Doshi.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Nikunj Bhanushali from Wallford PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, if you could just comment on the older mature stores that we have in Origin, what kind of sales are we getting there and how is the profitability there? Are they crossing the 18 to 20 lakhs sales targets per month?
Hi, Mr. Nikunj. Yes, thank you for the question. So yes, largely the older, more mature stores are crossing the 18 to 20 lakh sales targets, which is the break-even target revenue for an Origin store. We're in fact very pleased with some mall-based stores. Our store, which is one of the only two lab-grown diamond stores in Phoenix Palladium, Mumbai, is doing north of 40 lakhs of sales, and that is an even newer store, so we're very pleased with performance over there. In general, the yes, all of our more mature, older stores are hitting this revenue target.
Okay. And lastly, in our Q4, the other expenses went up quite a bit. It reached about 14% of our revenues. So what was the reason for that, and what are taking up those charges?
Sure. So, Mr. Nikunj, I think there was generally in Q4, we have had a higher little expense due to additional manufacturing that is being done looking into Q1 and moving forward. Outside of that, we have our Origem related expenses, as well as certain one-offs on the investment side, which have created a higher expense for this quarter.
Okay. And this would be one-off, or would it be going forward into the next quarter as well?
All one-off.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. I'll get back into the queue. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nikunj.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vidisha from CR Kothari & Sons. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. So firstly, I would like to understand what led to the margin decline QOQ in this quarter.
Sure. Thank you for the question, Ms. Vidhi. So we have, again, as I mentioned, certain one-off other expenses related to the investment side and general additional expense on the production being baked in for Q1 coming up. So slight margin change, but otherwise we're in general very happy with our margins, and we look forward to, as I mentioned, a very strong FY27, particularly in the margin front. The dual casting method that we are operating for our United States business is making Goldium tariff agnostic and providing us the opportunity to leverage strong manufacturing network in America in order to further enhance the margin profile for the company. We are extremely excited and have strong belief that the margin profile in FY27 will be significant, strong, and certainly higher than the Q4 numbers at the moment. So looking forward to further growth there. And again, as I mentioned, it's driven by the dual hybrid casting method, which we have employed for our United States business.
So on the Origem front, so as you mentioned, so the break-even for the store is 18 to 20 lakhs per month. And the working,
please proceed, Ms. Vidhi.
So I would like to know, what is the cost of opening one store?
So, so that's a great, segue for me to share a little bit about the balance sheet side of Origem. So per store, approximately it costs 3.5 crores to open one store, 2.5 crores of which is inventory, investment needed in gold, diamond, making charges all put together. About 50 to 60 lakhs is the capex required per store, which is the furniture and fit out costs. And about 30, 35 to 40 lacks is the security deposit or rental deposit that we pay, which is refundable with the landlords of these at these locations. So all in, if you add these three buckets up, the total expense to open an Origem store or cash out to open an Origem store is about 3.5 crores, give or take a certain amount. On the P&L side, effectively the break evens at the current operating margin levels are in the range of 17 to 19 lakhs, so slightly better than the 18 to 20 lakh figure. And we hope to sort of hit these numbers within the first 6 to 9 months of opening. In some stores where there is high footfall and fantastic traction, particularly mall stores, we are able to deliver this number even faster. in some high street stores, of course, it's either with the stated time frame or little bit extended. However, on average, we hope to, across the store fleet, deliver break-even within the six-month period. And the idea with Origem is to effectively create a store fleet where over time we mature over 2-3 years towards that 30, 35, 40, 45 lakh sales per store per month figure. Again, sharing, this is a, you know, not a significantly high barrier to hit over the longer term. We have peers in the everyday fine jewelry space within the same ASP, even lower ASPs, that are hitting monthly sales figures of 65 lakhs, 80 lakhs, even over 1 crore across the entire store fleet. So with the lower, even the lower goal in mind, we will be able to deliver a 3-year payback upon the investment that is made in an Origem store while creating a, you know, long-term growth driver for the company. So we are on the job here, and that is the model for Origem that we are following. Of course, a lot of work to be done, such as I mentioned, you know, key sales enablers, lower caratage of gold-based jewelry, introduction of silver for that fast gifter who wants to come in and purchase something under 10,000-15,000 rupees. So category addressment, inventory, addressing sales enablers like purchase plans, old gold exchange, etc., will help us drive store revenue towards that stated long-term target.
Understood. So on the competition side, so in B2C category in India, so we have a lot of new companies that are coming up. So how do we see the demand side, like in terms of competition? And in the long term, what is our vision? Like, where do we want to take this B2C segment to as a share of your total revenue?
Sure. Thank you, Misha. Yes, so, you know, like you very clearly identified, there is very strong competition this early on for the category of lab-grown diamond jewelry in India. The category today is nascent, especially from the overall jewelry segment. From the studded jewelry segment also, it's in perhaps low single digits as a portion of market share, but it is certainly growing fast and growing quite quickly. We do believe that the demand is, and we are seeing demand increasing very quickly within this segment. And we hope to build Origem as the go-to brand within the space for everyday fine jewelry, particularly in the lab-grown space. I think Origem has a right to win into a certain degree, and that's why we have delved into the segment. We have two or three very strong forces that are behind us. One, of course, having the parentage of a publicly listed company allows us access to some key real estate that is not otherwise available to you know, younger startups that are that don't have lineage parentage. So, for example, we are already present for such a young brand in Phoenix Palladium in Mumbai, Our City Mall in Mumbai, Infinity Mall in Mumbai, the best mall in Calcutta, South City, best mall in Chandigarh, Elante, Nexus Hyderabad, Nexus Kormangla, Bangalore, Nexus Whitefield, Bangalore, Phoenix, Bangalore, and, you know, many more to come in the future. And this kind of distribution strength is one particular moat that we are have as a crutch at Origem. The second is the design expertise and experience of Goldium, particularly in the bridal space, which is in rings and solitaire rings, which is a, I would say, a predominant category for Origem. Almost every single ring at Origem only comes into the store if it has sold multiple times over in the export market. So proven performance, novel designs, best-in-class design language, which is then brought to India to further enhance the jewelry shopping experience. One big learning from the US also was this ring builder. And, you know, and we developed and invested in developing this technology, which again is the first in the country on the jewelry shopping experience side to allow an enhanced experience for customers. So again, that's the second big benefit that we have at Origem. And thirdly, the joint efforts of both Goldium's management, our sourcing capability for lab-grown diamonds manufacturing capability, as well as retail experience coming in with, you know, a top-class professional team to help further drive the long-term objectives for Origem. So within these three sort of crutches, we believe Origem is stated to have a right to win, especially in the face of competition that may come and go over the next few years. And we look forward to continuously building on the base that we built. Today, with 24 COCO stores, we're happy to share that we would be among the top lab-grown diamond retailers in terms of COCO stores, and certainly in the top three with overall store count. And this lead will only increase as we open the next 6, 8, 10 stores in the coming few months.
All right. And so any revenue guidance for the 2027-2028?
So we are hoping and targeting an exit revenue of about 7 crores per month for FY27 for the Origem business. That I think is a realistic achievement that we can hit and take forward from there.
Yes, on the total company front, any revenue guidance?
We hope for and we are looking forward to build towards a very positive growth, double-digit growth in FY27 on an overall basis.
All right. Thank you and all the best to you, sir.
Thank you, Nisha.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Kush Shah from Vivo Commercial. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations for the good set of numbers. My first question would be related to marketing expense. What would be the marketing expense for this quarter, Q4 FY26?
Sorry, is this Mr. Kush Shah?
Yeah, yes, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Shah. So, I don't have the marketing expense ready with me at the moment. I'm happy to share that offline. I can share that. Sorry?
Yeah. Sorry. Sorry for interrupting.
I was saying that I can share that the overall EBITDA level loss at Origem's level was about 15 crores for the full fiscal year.
No, so if you can give us the marketing expense for the whole year as a percentage of revenue or the current quarter as a percentage of revenue, the marketing expense.
Sure. So, Mr. Shah, as I mentioned, I don't have the level-by-level breakup of the expense, but happy to pull it out and share those numbers over email.
Okay, so if you can provide us the overall marketing expense going forward for the 6 to 8 quarters, how much would be the marketing expense as a percentage of revenue, if you could give us, or is there any number that you can provide to the marketing or advertisement budget of the overall consolidated? Obviously, it's only for the Origem as well, Origem only, but overall, what would be the percentage or the expense?
Sure. So we're looking forward for the first half of the fiscal year. We are, of course, given the number of stores opening and the store fleet expansion, we do a budgeting exercise on a half-yearly basis. For the first half of fiscal 2027, we are looking forward to spend between 4 to 4.5 crores in marketing expense.
4 to 4.5 crores.
That's it.
Okay. Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you. All the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sandeep Govind Bhai Patel, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Mr. Sandeep, your line has been unmuted. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah. Can you listen? Hello? Hello?
Hello, Mr. Patel.
Yeah. Can you listen?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah. I just have one question. I wanted to understand our subsidiary structure. We have four subsidiaries, if I'm not wrong. Can you please elaborate what subsidiary does what?
Sure. That's a great question, Mr. Patel. So Goldium International, being the parent company, has four subsidiaries, as you mentioned. One is Goldium Jewelry Limited. it is in the same line of business as Goldium International. It's a separate production facility, but also located within SEEPS in Andheri East. It's effectively a company set up and a stone's throw away from our parent factory. Both Goldium International's facilities and Goldium Jewelry's facilities are engaged in the production of diamond-studded jewelry and export of the said jewelry to global markets. Other than Goldium International, there is also Goldium USA. This is our marketing arm. Effectively, goods are produced in Goldium International, Goldium Jewelry, sold to Goldium USA, and Goldium USA is the marketing arm, which is 100% subsidiary of Goldium International, domiciled in the United States, which then sells to large retailers in the US. So all of our largest customers are effectively a pass-through Goldium USA into their retail shops in America. Thirdly, our last subsidiary at Goldium International is Eco-Friendly Diamonds LLP. Goldium International, I believe, is an 88% shareholder at Eco-Friendly Diamonds, and this is the business in which we are growing diamond, lab-grown diamonds. Our growing plant is also located in SEEPS, SEZ in Andheri East in Mumbai. All diamonds here are utilized in-house by Goldium for our lab-grown diamond purposes and lab-grown diamond jewelry purposes. So effectively, it is an arm that grows diamonds in-house and which is 100% captive consumed by Goldium for jewelry operations. I hope that gave a fair and clear overview of our three subsidiaries, which is Goldium Jewelry Limited, Goldium USA Incorporated, and Eco-Friendly Diamonds LLP.
Yeah, got it. One question is that regarding casting, gold raw material casting, which we
right.
do in USA after the tariffs, right?
Correct.
So that is handled by the Goldium USA only? Market?
That is either direct through Goldium, through our relationships in India with US casters. So we both purchase in Goldium International, Goldium Jewelry, as well as in Goldium USA. We purchase at all three facilities depending on speed of delivery needed.
Okay. And Eco-Friendly is only the factory which produces the lab-growns.
That's correct. We have our own machinery and our own laboratory where via the CVD method, we are growing diamonds in-house at Goldium through Eco-Friendly LLP.
How many machines do we have?
So we have about 30 machines within the facility in SEEPS that are operating non-stop.
Do we have any plan to expand and purchase more machines?
No, sir, not at the moment. For us, we believe that as the industry pricing of loose lab-grown diamonds have come down over the last 3-4 years, the margin potential is truly in the distribution parts of the business, which are from our intent the global distribution of jewelry on the B2B side and distribution of jewelry B2C in India via Origem. We believe investing further in these arms is certainly more ROE creative than enhancing capex to grow via more machinery for in-house consumption. To share today, Eco-Friendly production is about 10% of Goldium's overall consumption of lab-grown diamonds. The rest is procured from vendors, suppliers, and supplier partners located in Surat and elsewhere and other such geographies.
Yeah, so in conclusion, I can say that we are not going to be a producer of the lab-grown, but we will market our lab-grown diamonds.
That's correct. So our focus is on production, design and development of jewelry and marketing of that jewelry and distribution globally as a B2B company and in India as a B2C company.
Yeah, got it. And regarding the ODGM, if I am correct, what you said is that 3.5 crore or something total cost we require for the one ODGM store to open. Among that, 2.5 crore is our for inventory, 50 or 60 lakh for the, matlab 1 crore is for other stuff like furniture and all. Am I correct?
That's correct, sir. Including the rental deposit. Yes.
Rental deposit and all, and we can what will be our what we can say in how much time we can recover this 3.5 crore for one store if it's matures.
So once it fully matures, I would say once we hit a full maturity, we believe payback period for stores will be 3 years or under.
Oh, 3 years and all. Yeah, got it. Yeah, that's all from my side. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dikshit Doshi from Whitestone PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity again. You mentioned a 15 crore EBITDA loss we have done for ORIGEM in FY26.
Yes, Mr. Doshi, that's correct.
So, just to confirm, so this includes the rent as well, because for retail we record rent in interest and depreciation.
That's correct, Mr. Doshi. A lot of the stores are on the, yeah, that's correct.
So, this 15 crore include the rent as well, or it does not include the
rent? It includes it.
It includes. Now, yes. My question is, let's say in FY27, we are targeting 50 stores by exit, and we are almost 24, 25 right now, so we'll be doubling. These current 25 stores will obviously ramp up in FY27. Is it fair to assume that this loss will not go up significantly?
Thank you for the question, Mr. Doshi. Yes. So our endeavor is to control the overall loss with a higher and higher stock rate, which means older, more mature stores have to move into break-even and thereafter subsequently into generating cash profits on a store-level basis, which helps subsidize the operating losses for newer and younger stores. So this is our endeavor, and that's why we have a measured approach to opening store fleet. We want to add on these sales enablers, help push sales per store further higher, and allow some space so such that mature and older stores, as mentioned, move towards break-even and then move into profitability, the same which is going to be used to help subsidize operating losses for younger stores and allow them their respective breathing room to move into maturity thereafter.
Okay. And this, so 15 crore is like, okay, fine, that's it from my side.
Thank you, Mr. Doshi.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal Bhatia from Dalal & Broacha Stock Broking Private Limited. Please go ahead.
So thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a good set of numbers. I just wanted to understand in terms of our lab-grown diamonds export business, we have seen the realization in USD terms on a flattish kind of a basis from a 742 to 737. Just wanted to know here, did we have any kind of a volume increase this quarter in terms of the overall jewelry exported, or there was a volume dip?
Sure, Mr. Bhatia. So, the ASP has been similar, but overall revenue is higher. Volumes have certainly gone up in Q4 for us. We are on the trajectory of increasing volumes, also slightly increasing ASP, maintaining to slightly increasing ASP as we get into higher value segments such as large carat weight bracelets, necklaces, etc.
Okay. And in terms of ODGM, I just missed out on the number that you mentioned for the payback period. I'm sorry.
Yes. So Mr. Bhatia has mentioned that upon hitting maturity of a store in terms of revenue target that was mentioned previously, the payback period has to be around three years, give or take, for one Origem store, where the cost of opening is 3.5 crores.
Okay, okay. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bhatia.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. The next question is from the line of Shubhanu Bangal from Three Head Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Hope I am audible. Sir, as you mentioned, our B2B segment top three retailer concentration mix increased. Can you tell me the top three concentration mix or the revenue mix segment?
Thank you, Mr. Shubhanu. I mentioned that our market share with our top three customers has increased over the last 3 to 5 year period. Effectively, we've been able to enhance our distribution with these retailers and because of that, enhance the overall wallet share or market share that is enjoyed by Goldium within these large retail customers in America.
The old pocket share.
Yes. Our market share within these retailers, overall bank.
Okay. And my next question on our margin. Sorry, I am very new in this business because I want to know why our gross margin increased that so much, but our EBITDA margin missed because other expense. But I could not understand why our gross margin increased so much.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Shubhanu. So, as I mentioned, the margin increase on the gross side is very clearly a function of the fact that we are, of the benefit that we are able to get in terms of pricing, as opposed to the cost, which is on the lower side, thanks to the dual casting method where we are able to manufacture part jewelry pieces and in the United States. These pieces are re-exported back once India alteration is completed, such as activities like polishing, diamond setting, etc. And duty, tariff, whatever is being levied is levied only on the India value addition component. As a result of which there is a delta that we are able to take advantage of, and that's why you see a higher gross margin than in general. We hope to continuously deliver that, and that flow through to come in into EBITDA and subsequently into PAT into FY27. Specifically in the coming year, we should have an entire full fiscal year where we are operating this dual casting method, and we are able to leverage the benefit of this dual casting method and deliver similar such results to our shareholders.
Oh, that means I can assume we can easily charge 25% EBITDA margin?
So we don't want to put a number in place, Mr. Shubhanu, but we hope to, on the full fiscal year basis, increase the margin percentage from where it is today.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shweta from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I just had one question regarding your perspective on the certification landscape, since you deal with both B2B as well as B2C customers. So do you see a format of these certificates changing in the mid or long term?
So, Ms. Shweta, so I'll answer from the lens of Origem, which is the B2C supplier, and I truly believe that certification and the requirement of the same is fully dependent on retailers. So for Goldium, whatever our retailer requests and wants, we are able to work with all certification parties and deliver the same to them. Whether they have any changes, we are quick to adapt and provide them the same. For Origem, we are very clear. For the time being, we are proceeding forward with 100% certification, particularly IGI certification for jewelry products in our stores. We believe this is a prudent measure as our brand is very young and has yet to deliver and grow customer love and customer trust. Having a fully certified product that is understood, well understood by our customers, as well as, is similar in terms of the four C's to natural diamond jewelry product, allows an easy transition or an easier transition for customers to port over the lab-grown jewelry side in terms of their purchases and in terms of demand. So that's all I can share. In my opinion, it is on what the retailer wants. And in speaking on behalf of Audium as a retailer, we, for the foreseeable future, are proceeding with 100% diamond jewelry certification.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Nishwata.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ganesh Rao from Punarvi Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. I have two questions. One is, if you can, it's a short-term question. If you can help. In the last year Q1, we had a higher base driven by, the announced duties that were done by the U.S. government. Do you think we can grow on that higher base also in the upcoming quarter?
So thank you for the question, Mr. Rao. We don't, we don't want to answer on a quarter-to-quarter basis. Overall, for the full financial year, we are extremely positive, as mentioned, and hope to deliver double-digit growth in FY27 over this high base that we have already achieved.
Thank you. Now, on the tariff topic, right, thank you for putting that on the presentation. That was very helpful for us, right? Just wanted to ask, how many competitors actually currently, might use this model, right, have a similar U.S. origin manufacturing structure, which is approved by U.S. Customs and use the same path that we might have established?
Right. It's a great question, Mr. Rao. It's exactly why we see our industry as a supplier to large retailers in the U.S. consolidating. Only large suppliers in our industry, those with significant presence in the U.S., offices in the U.S., key management also in America, have been able to port over to the U.S. casting and hybrid casting model. I would say it's certainly a lot of the larger players that we compete with have ported over to this model as well, which means that the tail end of jewelry suppliers to the U.S. is very quickly diminishing as they cannot manage the intricacies and complexities of business today, where we have to do dual casting, produce jewelry in both America and in India, and also manage to maintain your time frames and lead times of delivering finished products to America. If you can imagine, the biggest challenge for us was the entire dot-com business. Lead times, which were earlier 5, 6, 7 days, while there is a slight extension to 10 days, it doesn't go beyond that. And within that itself, we are able to manage dual casting in America, producing in India, finishing value addition in India, and quickly transferring that inventory back to towards our customers. So business is certainly becoming more complex, more intricate, and as a result of that, larger players are able and capable to keep up. Smaller players we see being consolidated over time as because of all these intricacies. So, thank you for reading this point and I'm glad to share this is what we're seeing on the ground.
Thank you, appreciate it. And just one follow-up on that, right? So, you have alluded to this in the past, but if you can quantify, right, what would be the incremental gross margin impact for us, right, in the process of the U.S. casting versus what if we had done, full India manufacturing, right? Including the customer pass-through that we are able, customer price pass-through that we are able to do.
Sure, yeah, absolutely, Mr. Rao. It's about between 200 to 300 basis point increment that we are expecting on a full year basis. Of course, we've seen some benefit of that in Q3, a little bit in Q4, and we hope to continue that on similar lines in FY27.
Awesome. Thank you. Thanks, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Rao.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shubhanu Bangal from Three Head Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for follow-up. I have just one question on Origin. Sir, as you told, normal break-even time around 3 years, how much revenue you are targeting for a mature store?
Sorry, could you repeat the question?
As you mentioned, normal Origin store payback time around 3 years. And how much revenue you are targeting for a mature store?
For a mature store, about between around 35 lakhs in terms of monthly revenues. Fully
okay.
Mature store.
That's good. Yes. Okay, yes. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
I want to thank all the participants for joining us today. If you have any further questions and queries or need additional information, please feel free to contact Desario Consulting, our investor relation team. Thank you all and everybody have a good evening. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
On behalf of Monarch Networth Capital Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.